Chapter 63. The Gilded Cage. After my brief taste of freedom, I was trapped in my rooms again. Though I hoped the mayor was through the worst of his recovery, I still needed to be at hand should his condition worsen and he call on me. I couldn't justify even a brief trip to Sever and Low, no matter how desperately I wanted to head back to Tinnery Street, with the hope of meeting up with Denner. So I called on Braden, and spent a pleasant afternoon playing tack. We played game after game, and I lost each one in new and exciting ways. This time, when we parted ways, he left the game table with me, claiming his servants were tired of carrying it back and forth between our rooms. In addition to tack with Braden and my music, I had a new distraction, albeit an irritating one. Cordagus was every bit the gossip he seemed to be, and word had spread about my genealogy story. So now, in addition to courtiers trying to pry information out of me, I was deluged with a steady flow of people eager to air everyone else's dirty laundry. I dissuaded those I could and encouraged the especially rabid to write their stories down and send them to me. A surprising number of them took time to do this, and a stack of slanderous stories began to accumulate on a desk in one of my unused rooms. The next day, when the mayor summoned me, I arrived to find Alvaron sitting in a chair near his bed reading a copy of Fearon's Claim of Kings in the original Eld Vintic. His colour was remarkably good, and I saw no trembling in his hands as he turned a page. He didn't look up as I entered the room. Without speaking, I prepared a new pot of tea with the hot water waiting at the mayor's bedside table. I poured a cup and set it at the table by his elbow. I checked the gilded cage in his sitting room. The flits darted back and forth to the feeders, playing dizzying aerial games which made them difficult to count. Still, I was reasonably certain there were 12 of them. They seemed none the worse despite 3 days of poisonous diet. I resisted an urge to knock the cage about a bit. Finally, I replaced the mayor's flask of cod liver oil and found it was still 3/4 full. Yet another sign of my fading credibility. Wordlessly, I gathered up my things and prepared to leave. But before I made it to the door, the mayor turned his eyes up from his book.
Quoth?
Yes, Your Grace?
It seems I'm not as thirsty as I thought. Would you mind finishing this for me?
He gestured to the untasted cup of tea that sat on the table.
To Your Grace's health,
I said, and drank a sip. I made a face and added a spoon of sugar, stirred and drained the rest of it with the mayor watching me. His eyes were calm, clever, and too knowing to be wholly good. Cordicus let me in and ushered me into the same seat as before.
You'll excuse me for a moment, he said. I have an experiment I must attend to, or I fear it will be ruined.
He hurried up a set of steps that led to a different part of the tower. With nothing else to occupy my attention, I eyed his display of rings again, realizing that a person could make a fair guess at his position in the court by using the rings themselves as triangulation points. Cordicus returned just as I was idly considering stealing one of his gold rings.
I was not sure if you wanted your rings back, Cordicus said, gesturing.
I looked back at the table and saw them resting on a tray. It seemed odd I hadn't noticed them before. I picked them up and slid them into an inner pocket of my cloak.
Thank you kindly, I said.
And will you be taking Samir his medicine again today?
He asked. I nodded, puffing myself up proudly. When I nodded, the motion of my head made me dizzy. It was only then I realized the trouble. I'd drunk a full cup of the mayor's tea. There hadn't been much laudanum in it, or rather not much laudanum if you were in pain and being slowly weaned away from a budding addiction to ophalum. However, it was quite a bit of laudanum for someone like myself. I could feel the effects of it slowly creeping over me, a warm lassitude running through my bones. Everything seemed to be moving a little more slowly than normal. The mayor seemed eager for his medicine today, I said, taking extra care to speak clearly.
I'm afraid I don't have much time to chat.
I was in no condition to play the half-wit gentry for any length of time. Cordicus nodded seriously and retreated to his work table. I followed him as I always did, wearing my best curious expression. I watched with half an eye as Cordicus mixed the medicine, but my wits were fuddled by the laudanum, and what remained were focused on other matters. The mayor was hardly speaking to me. Stapes hadn't trusted me from the beginning, and the flits were as healthy as ever. Worst of all, I was trapped in my rooms while Denner waited down on Tinnery Street, no doubt wondering why I hadn't come to visit. I looked up, aware that Cordicus had asked me a question.
"Beg your pardon? Could you pass me the acid?" Cordicus repeated as he finished measuring out a portion of leaf into his mortar and pestle.
I picked up the glass decanter and began to hand it to him before I remembered I was just an ignorant lordling. I couldn't tell salt from sulphur. I didn't even know what an acid was. I did not flush or stumble. I didn't sweat or stutter. I am a Damer Rue born, and even drugged and fuddled, I am a performer down to the marrow of my bones. I met his eyes and asked,
"This one, right? The clear bottle comes next."
Cordicus gave me a long, speculative look. I flashed him a brilliant grin.
"I've got a good eye for detail," I said smugly. "I've watched you go through this twice now. I bet I could mix the mayor's medicine myself if I wanted to."
I pitched my voice with all the ignorant self-confidence I could muster. This is the true mark of nobility, the unshakable belief that they can do anything, tan leather, shoe a horse, spin pottery, plow a field, if they really wanted to. Cordicus looked at me a moment longer, then began to measure out the acid.
"I dare say you could, young sir."
3 minutes later, I was walking down the hall with the warm vial of medicine in my sweaty palm. It almost didn't matter whether I'd fooled him or not. What mattered was that for some reason, Cordicus was suspicious of me. Stapes stared daggers into my back as he let me into the mayor's rooms, and Alvaron ignored me as I poured the new dose of poison into the flit's feeders. The pretty things hummed about their cage with infuriating energy. I took the long way back to my rooms, trying to get a better feel for the layout of the mayor's estate. I already had my escape route half planned, but Cordicus's suspicion encouraged me to put the finishing touches on it. If the flits didn't start dying tomorrow, it would probably be in my best interest to disappear from Severin as quickly and as quietly as possible. Late that night, when I was reasonably sure the mayor wouldn't call on me, I slipped out of the window of my room and made a thorough exploration of the gardens. There were no guards this late at night, but I did have to avoid half a dozen couples taking moonlight strolls. There were two others sitting in close, romantic conversation, one in a boa, the other in a gazebo. The last couple I nearly trod on while cutting through a hedgerow. They were neither strolling nor conversing in any conventional sense, but their activities were romantic. They didn't notice me. Eventually, I found my way onto the roof. From there, I could see the ground surrounding the estate. The western edge was out of the question, of course, as it was pressed up against the edge of the shear, but I knew there had to be other opportunities for escape. While exploring the southern end of the estate, I saw lights burning brightly in one of the towers. What's more, they had the distinctive red tint of sympathy lamps. Cordicus was still awake. I made my way over and risked a look inside, peering down into the tower. Cordicus was not simply working late, he was talking to someone. I craned my neck, but I couldn't see who he was speaking to. What's more, the window was leaded shut and I couldn't hear anything. I was about to move to a different window, when Cordicus stood and began to walk to the door. The other person came into view, and even from this steep angle I could recognize the portly, unassuming figure of Stapes. Stapes was clearly worked up about something. He made an emphatic gesture with one hand, his face deathly serious. Cordicus nodded several times in agreement before opening the door to let the manservant out. I noted Stapes wasn't carrying anything when he left. He hadn't stopped by for medicine. He hadn't stopped by to borrow a book. Stapes had stopped by in the middle of the night to have a private conversation with the man who was trying to kill the mayor.